I'm Hallgrímur.
I'm Jón.
I'm Daniel.
I'm the guy sitting next to the guy who brushed his teeth on the way over here. My name is Ragnar.
I'm Carl.
And my name is Gunnar.
Okay, and who is going to teach me how to pronounce, you've been through this a million times, the name of the band?
Hey, yeah. Carl, you want to take that one?
Yeah. Think of the word ours.
Ours.
Teeth.
Teeth.
Her.
Ours, teeth, her.
Yeah, and just make it teether, actually, is better.
Okay.
Ours, teether.
But it means seasons. I like revisionist history. I like things that are more interesting, that are more between the lines. So here's what I know. I know that this has been going supposedly since 2008, but you also became who you are because you saw a promoter saw you opening for another big band, that you got lucky, you were opening for, they saw you and somehow you got booked to open for another big band. That's what I've got. But there's a lot of stuff in between there.
Let's start with this. You can't really call an Icelandic pop band a big band when we don't have audience bigger than maybe 100,000 people.
Because that's what you
and
got.
I don't know. Like, right. We're like 300,000 people in Iceland. And so, okay, anyway, we played this festival, or yeah, sort of festival, on a night called Culture Night in Iceland. It's in August, where it's where all the people gather around downtown. And
does it ever get dark then?
Culture.
Or is it
in August? Yeah, it's
for how many
getting
hours?
A bit dark again. For how many hours?
How many hours does it actually get dark?
Three or four hours.
Got it.
Yeah. So we played a big venue, and at this time we only had three members in the band. So it was the shock for us to go from 20 people on the first gig and up to, I don't know, it was 1,000 or something like that. So that was a pretty big jump, and so we followed this band around a little. But like I said, in Iceland, it's not really that big market. So a lot of bands competing for the same audience. So it's sounded more suitable.
Bigger
to
than it
else.
Is. Okay, keep going.
Well,
on
we started as a trio and snowballed into a quartet, then a quintet, then a sextet. And the snowballing was very interesting. Well, key moment, I think, was before our first gig, when we sat in my parents' backyard and sat in the grass, summertime, playing the guitars. This is pretty striking because in Iceland it gets pretty cold, so it's only a couple of weeks a year you can sit in your garden and play the guitar outside. And we were putting together the last couple of songs for our first gig. And, I think we looked at each other and said, yeah, this is it's pretty nice. And we played the same day our first gig at this fair trade coffee shop. And played to like 20 people. And we had a really good coffee.
So that was
it's very dramatic.
Hey, you know, the coffee makes up for the audience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was fair trade coffee, too.
Yeah, so our set list was sort of made of, we had just begun writing some songs for the first record, so we added up a lot of cover songs from the 70s to sort of...
Name two of those.
For What It's Worth, probably. Mm-hmm. And was it Ohio? Didn't we take that?
So lots of Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young and in that influence in there for sure.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah.
Got it.
Well, when I started the band, it was because Hallgrímur, the cellist, had already joined, and we're best friends. So we were living together at the time. And I had seen them play a Christmas concert, well, a concert around Christmas. And I thought to myself, this is very nice, but there are some things that I would like to change.
Classic band leader, controlling things, unbelievable.
No. Yeah, so they invited me to have one rehearsal with them. And I started the rehearsal by telling them which things were not, good enough. So I started by changing stuff.
Taking out the Crosby, Stills and Nash covers.
Well, get this. One day, a woman wakes up in Moscow, Russia, and she has this this epiphany. She's a manager and she needs to manage an Icelandic band. It's just she wakes up with that thought in her head. She goes to the computer, turns it on, has a cup of coffee, and looks at the Icelandic music export page where they list pretty much all the serious acts in Iceland. And the alphabet starts on the letter A, and there we are.
Smart right there.
Yeah. So
good thing you didn't name yourself Seasons, you'd be all the way down at the S.
Yeah. So that's how Maria Chelnokova found us, and she was she liked us, sent us an email, wanted to get us for a festival in Moscow. Well, that turned into a tour, and then after the tour, she said, "Guys, can I be your manager?" And that was really the start of our sort of us touring outside Iceland, because she could book tours for us, places where we would never dreamt we'd ever go.
You get a manager in Russia, you're in Iceland, and the markets that you've become big and you've toured in are very different markets where you probably are exotic and you can own it when you come right down to it, right? So that makes it kind of interesting. But now back to home, you know, you're saying 100,000 people, right? And this is the extent.
I don't know how many grown-ups.
Well,
in Iceland, I don't know how to do the math.
Let's really mix it up. You're on a German label. Among other things.
German label in Germany, Austria.
German label. So explain to me. So she finds you, right? And this is 2 years past Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yes.
We'll just use that as the moniker from now on. It's like post Buffalo Springfield.
This is all post Buffalo Springfield.
It's all post Buffalo Springfield. But she finds you. She's in Russia, right?
Right.
Which is also an interesting place to start a band if you're going for world domination, because let's face it, the only Russian band that people really talk about now is Pussy Riot, right? That's, you know, outside of Russia, and you're not Pussy Riot by any stretch of anyone's imagination. But she finds you, she says, "I want to manage you," and then
she tells us at least must bring us to Russia to play on tour in Russia.
Which is a big country, and there are lots of that. There's a few more people in Russia than there are
but
in
this
Iceland.
This is the thing, like, it was such a great thing to have this person with all this experience in, like, managing tours and promoting gigs in Russia. So tour in Russia, you need someone to help you there, and you need someone who knows the system perfectly.
I would say, if your experience is Iceland, and you're talking a country as big as Russia, I wouldn't even know. I mean, I know a lot about booking the United States, but I wouldn't know how to book Russia at all.
But that went great. We played 3 shows, Russia in Moscow.
And were they
Moscow,
big shows?
St. Petersburg. They were okay. Yeah, we were like a venue of 400 people in Moscow.
Which is bigger than 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the halls there look fantastic, and like each and every city has a Philharmonia which we could play in, and so Russia has been really good to us. We've been on 3 tours there already, and once we did a 10 city tour.
So let's start with the fact that 6 people sing. Are there 6 lead vocalists in the room effectively?
We try to actually mix it different than other bands do. We try to never have just one guy up in front. And a lot of the songs have a different lead singer. It's usually one of the guitar players or Jon. We like to have our harmonies more like a choir and a cappella ensemble. And we always have to tell the mixer to back down from the lead vocal player, because we don't want to sound like a pop band with a bunch of backup dudes. We're more interested in the polyphony and the independent voices and the intertwining harmonies and stuff.
That must be interesting for the mixing people.
Yeah,
you have to train them. But where was that moment, because you're 2 albums in, that you knew what you were? And I don't mean in terms of a genre, but where you suddenly said, "We're making records and this all now makes sense, and we are all of us with our crazy disparate backgrounds, we're this."
You know, part of that moment was figuring out when not to play, because we have 6 guys and we can't all play at once. Like Arcade Fire or anything, we have to sort of space it out, stagger who comes in where, who's singing, who's not singing. And I think that was a difficulty for me coming from metal, where I'm trying to play as many notes per second as possible every second. Like, now here we're trying to figure out where are we necessary and only play then.
And I think, like, when I first came to our first rehearsal with the guys, and I'd never played with Hallgrimur before, but we had known of each other. And basically, like, every time where I wanted to come in, like, he was there with me doing the perfect harmony underneath. And it kind of just, like, from the first day that I practiced with him, I think that was probably 2009, this sort of sensitivity to when to shut up and when to speak is kind of built in.
So there's real choreography required.
Yeah.
When you come right down to it.
Yeah. I think it's a good point that also the minute you walked in the band, that was sort of the last piece of the puzzle. So that's a point where we sort of found a sound that we've been sort of developing since.
We've gotten used to accepting a language that we have no idea what the you know what you're talking about. So what percentage is English and what percentage is in native language, and how do you decide? Because I certainly know that I heard, you know, Days and Nights, right? You know, which is immediately could be an American hit.
Our first tour outside Iceland was actually a small tour in Sweden. And from the first concert there, people were asking us to play, like they requested some of our songs, and always requesting the Icelandic songs. So it has an appeal. We don't know why. And
it just sounds nice.
Sounds nice.
German's just a little rougher. Jo Vella! It just a little. Not quite as much fun.
But today we don't think about it. I mean, yesterday we played at the Monarch Tavern, two people, and we sing in our native tongue, and we understand what we're singing. They don't. But we don't even think about it anymore.
You ever thought of putting subtitles down below the?
No, that would.
You got a guy holding up cards with subtitles. The trees are pretty. The birds are singing.
I feel bad.
You all stink. It sounds so sweet and so pretty when you do it that nobody knows that you're out to kill the world. You know, it's an opportunity here.
We actually,
just giving you an idea.
We take advantage of this in one song in particular. Jon wrote this, a bit of a sort of Crosby, Stills, and Nash style song, super happy major key guitar pick and harmonies called Brestir, and the title means character defects, sort of, something like that. And it's all about like depression and waking up with anxiety and not being able to.
Yeah, but you know, but that's the classic trick. The best songs are the dark ones that sound really pretty. We all love those songs.
Well, a fun moment was when we were playing this song and a couple who were engaged to put up the rings during that song. They thought it has a bearing on their future wedding. And it's all about being suicidal.
You've got a manager in Russia, right? Is there a plan? And do you care about playing huge, massive, worldwide, but particularly U.S.? Is this a goal of the band? Because some bands care and some bands do not care.
Of course. I mean, everyone looks at the U.S. Everyone wants to play here. But to get here, you have to sort of, you know, build a fan base elsewhere first. So that's why Russia was a good start and Eastern Europe. So a mistake a lot of Icelandic bands do is they start by going to Great Britain or the U.S. It was very hard, a lot of competition. Whereas we went east first, built up a fan base.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Got
it's
some,
a different way
got
to
some
look at.
Experience, and slowly we're moving west. Canada today.
You moved west. You're in Canada.
The world tomorrow.
First we'll take Manhattan, and then we'll take.
Yeah, but you know what? The press email I got this morning. You are listed. If you haven't seen it, you are the under the radar band must see for tonight.
All right.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.